5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench, back with Carver High. So the Yankees won the game over the Mariners tonight, 5-3. And Gallo was 3-for-4, 2 runs, 3 RBIs, hit the home run his 26th in the 7th inning with a 2-on-a-3-run shot. Sky high, as Carver High said, it landed in the first row, but he got it out nevertheless. And Stanton went 2-for-4 in a game with 2 runs scored. Odor 2-for-2. Higgy had a hit. Judge 1-for-3 with a run, a walk, a K. LeMahieu 1-for-5. That pretty much sums it up. So Rizzo was 0-for-4, but that's what I wanted to talk to you about, Rizzo. So Rizzo starts for the Yankees since the trade deadline. And what has he played in, 6 games or something like that?
So, tonight was his 7th.
Okay, so 7 games, but he had 6 RBIs in the first 6 games, right?
Right.
Okay, so no Yankee has ever done that. In their first 6 games with the Yankees, no one has ever done that in Yankee history. That blows my mind. That really does. That's crazy. So when I saw that, I was like, you got to be kidding me that no Yankee ever has done that. Sure enough, no Yankee's ever done it. And then I'm thinking to myself, and you've heard me talk about this guy, what I think. I've wanted that guy on the Yankees for, frankly, years. I'm not even hesitant in saying it. I've wanted Rizzo to play for the Yankees for years. I always felt like his left-handed bat, the way he turns on balls and pulls balls, and the way he can hit it out, but he can hit all fields, but the way he turns on pitches, and frankly, the way he plays first base, he's a gold glover. And to me, he is a leader like no other. Like, I thought he was without a doubt, he was the biggest Cub, right? And the Cub fans, they were more angry about losing him than anybody. They didn't want to lose Rizzo. That was their guy. They lost them all, Bryant, Baez, Kimbrel, all of them. But the one that they really, you know, I just saw the Gallo home run into the first row. Good call by you on that home run. My point being is that I just think the guy was meant to play at Yankee Stadium. not at Wrigley. I thought he was great at Wrigley. I thought he was great for the Cubs. And again, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know the exact specs, but I think that shot to right in Yankee Stadium is easier than that deep shot into that deep corner at Wrigley. Am I wrong, Carver High?
I think you're right about that.
Okay, so I just... I welcome all of our radio affiliates right now, though. Sirius XM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA. What's happening, H-Town? San Francisco, what up? Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on the bench. Carver High's running it. So I just think that he was built for this stadium. I think he's built to be a Yankee. And I know that sounds crazy because he was such a Cub. And he won the World Series with the Cubs. And if it wasn't for Bryant and Rizzo and Baez, they would have never won the World Series on the north side of Chicago. There's no getting around that. But I really believe, I do believe this, that he's going to be, if they're smart, the Yankees, you tell me, Carver High, are they smart enough? Because I question Cashman now. I think he's lost his mind. But do you question whether or not they're smart enough to sign him and keep him in pinstripes for the rest of his career? They cannot let this guy out of their grasp, in my opinion. If they let him play first base for the Yankees for the rest of his career,
right,
he'll break every record ever by a Yankee on that corner.
Well, I think that he could put up some very big numbers. He's been around for a while, so I mean, I don't know about the records, but I think they should have signed him long-term already. Like, I wish it was part of the deal. I know that that's not how these things work in the middle of the season with trades. It's something you talk about after, but he's perfect for that team. He's perfect for that stadium. His family's from the area. Everything about Rizzo and the Yankees makes sense. And I hope that he loves it here enough over the next 2 months that they do get that done when it needs to. And if he wants to stay here, I'm sure that Cashman and the Yankees will make it happen.
So he grew up around here?
He's got some family. The wife, I think, is from Jersey, and I think some of his family's from Connecticut. So he's got some family sprinkled in the area.
Oh, whatever that means. I don't care where his family lives. I just need him playing for the Yankees. I mean, let's get this guy a cold beer, shall we? So, this fight is going on in Vegas, Pacquiao and Spence, and you've seen the buildup for it. It's been, you know, creeping up on you, and there's been a lot of stuff on the TV and social media. You've seen it's unfurling a little bit. It's happening. It's brewing, and they're having it at T-Mobile and everything. August 21st, that's coming up. I mean, I think tomorrow's the 6th. So it's really in like 15 days. So the funny thing is that in Vegas, it's literally, they're wearing masks again. They're literally, everywhere you go in Vegas, you have to have a mask on. Inside, restaurants, bars, anywhere, inside a casino, anywhere you go, if you go to that T-Mobile Arena to a fight, you're going to be wearing a mask. The entire time you're indoors, you're wearing a mask. Now, obviously, we've worn masks for a year and a half, so it's not like we haven't done it. We have done it. And you got used to it because you had to do it, right? And then I think the hard part was when it ended, for the most part, you didn't have to wear them anymore. And then everybody, it was like, you know, free bird. Everybody was just so happy when they didn't have to wear masks anymore. Like, I remember wearing a mask to work out every single day for a year and a half. So I'm sitting there working out every day, soaking wet, sweating, and I got this wet mask on my face. It was the worst. And then I had to wear one walking in the gym, walking out of the gym, in the gym, you name it. I had to have the mask on. When you're in the locker room, I didn't have to have it on. When I was in the pool, I didn't have to have it on, obviously. But everywhere else, I had to have it on. I got sick and tired of that mask, right? So fair enough. I get how people are turned off by the masks. I get it. But at some point, you know, during the COVID, you just wore it. You had to wear it, so you wore it. And it is what it is. Everywhere you went, you got to wear it. You go to the store, you got to wear it. You go to the barber, you got to wear it. You go to the gym, you got to wear it. It doesn't matter. Restaurants, you got to wear it. Bars, you got to wear it. Now, they're going to have a fight in Vegas that's sold out with 20,000 people wearing masks at that T-Mobile Arena, Carver High. And the MGM will be the hub for that fight. And that place will be packed. My guess, it's going to be, maybe it won't be. I mean, do you think it'll be sold out, the MGM, for the fight? And then, or do you think people are going to be turned off by the new mask requirements in Vegas that happened last Saturday night at 12:01? You had to wear a mask everywhere in Vegas. Every single place. There's nowhere you don't have to wear a mask. You absolutely have to wear a mask everywhere. I mean, it really is annoying after you wore it for a year and a half and didn't have to wear it for like 3 months. And then you have the freedom to not wear it anymore. And then you have to go back to wearing it. Like, who in their right mind wants to do that, Carver High? Like, even go to that fight or go to the Las Vegas or go to the MGM or go to any casino or go to any restaurant or bar. If you don't live there, like, let's say you live in New York City like we do, and we're going to Vegas to the fight. Like, who in their right mind wants to do that? Like, here, I'm going to go to Vegas for 4 days and wear a mask everywhere I go for 4 days in Vegas. Does that not ruin Vegas to you?
Somewhat, yes. I would say that. That's a fair statement. I think so. It's definitely different. Would be a different experience being there from all the times I've been there in the past.
Do you think going to the fight
fight will be sold out?
The fight will be sold out either way, and it'll be 20,000 people wearing masks.
Yes. They'll wear them going in. They'll wear them getting through the door. They won't wear them when they're at their seats.
Oh, you think that once they get to their seats, they're going to peel them off?
Yeah, there's no way to police it. What, is somebody going to walk around and start throwing people out? There's no way to police it. They'll make you wear it going through the security at the door. And then after that, it'll be fair game.
So does that not form some level of danger to you that you'd be in that arena with like a Petri dish?
Look, I think at this point, you have to look around at what's happening. There seems to be a clear spike in several areas of the country, Nevada, Las Vegas being one of them.
Yes.
And that includes people who, you know, have already gotten the jab. You know, that includes people that have already gotten the vaccine. So, you know, you're definitely probably taking a risk with any kind of travel right now.
Do you so you got the shots, right? And
yeah.
You got them. When did you get them? I got mine in March and April.
April, I think, somewhere around there. Somewhere in April.
Okay, so when, like, at some point in October, that's going to, like, be 6 months, right?
Well, yeah, of course. This is just going to be, it's a little top off. Go again. Go get another one. You know, this
you're going to go back and get another shot, like, just like going up to the bar and getting another shot.
They're going to, well, you see... And we're getting into a whole other discussion now. The rules, the line gets moved every day. You know, things get changed every day. So, you know, it's all about what each individual person, I guess, wants to believe at this point. That's kind of what it goes down to.
Well, you, so let's say after 6 months, let's say you've had the shots and 6 months later, you've, let's say without the news, without the news, let's say you don't turn the news on and you just mind your own business and you're thinking to yourself, with you, you know, hot Nicole and you got two kids and you're thinking, okay, at some point this shack's going to wear off and I need to go get another shot. Are you ready to like do that again? Like, no problem. You're just going to go get another one.
I mean, it seems like that's what's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, it seems like that's going to be the deal.
The choice.
Right. I guess we're going to find out a lot in the next 3 or 4 months in terms of how many people get it again, or, you know, after an X amount of time is worn, you know, gone since they've gotten the initial shot. I guess we're going to find out in the next few months.
Does it not freak you out at all that, do you remember when like everybody thought that it was like, don't worry, when, you know, when the weather's warm and we go outside, it's going to be gravy. It's going to be Gandhi. We'll be outside. It's no big deal. When it's warm, there's no way this thing's going to survive the summer months. We're all going to be out barbecuing and partying and going to the beach. And then in the fall and winter, when it gets cold and when people are forced inside, like in the east and in the north, not in the deep south or west, like, let's face facts, when we're forced inside for our lives for 7.5-8 months, because that's what it is. Don't you think, like, weren't you under the guise that it was like, well, in the winter, it's going to be way worse. We're going to be inside. You're going to be trapped and you're going to get it. And then in the winter, it's going to be at its worst. And then in the summer, we'll all be outside and we'll be fine. Is it amazing to you at some level that this is running rampant right now, like out of control in the hot summer months?
Like I said, I don't think that anybody has any real idea of what they're dealing with or what they're saying or anything. The goalposts are always moving.
Well, now they're saying the most dangerous variant yet is coming. That's going to be way worse than the Delta. It's right around the corner. Saw this highlight of this David Taylor guy, this wrestler. I don't know if you saw that, but this guy was taking on the best wrestler in the world is from Iran, and they call him the greatest or something. The guy's like the greatest ever, the king and everything else. They call him all these names. This Iranian wrestler at 86 kilos, whatever that means. All I know is, I mean, they look like, you know, almost either light, heavy, or heavy, right? So I'm watching this fight, and there's literally 10 seconds left, and the Iranian's up 3-2, and he's 10 seconds away from gold, and the American guy, Taylor, somehow threw him down. Like, picked him up and threw him down and got the takedown and 2 points and stole the gold medal from him. He literally, the fight was over. There was 10 seconds left. The guy's like, he's got one last chance. He's got to do something right now. And the guy, like, went after him, and he dove at him and, like, got underneath him and, like, picked him up and body slammed him and just absolutely effing stole it from him and got on top of him and rode him like a hooker. And he did him, and he beat him 4-3 and won the gold. And the guy was draped in the American flag. The guy won it, and they were I was under the assumption there were no fans there, but they had I saw at least a couple hundred people in the crowd going crazy for him.
You're allowed to have – I think they let some local people in. If you lived in the Tokyo area, you were allowed to go, and if you're athletes in the Olympic Village, you're allowed to go to the events. So that's what makes up the crowds, any crowds that you see at any of these events.
So all those are like his athletic friends and American athletes that went to root him on.
So he was a Penn State kid. David Taylor from Penn State wins the gold medal. Nice job. It's actually it took 2 weeks. The Olympics are over, but it seemed like today was the best day that the United States has had, and it only took 2 weeks. I just saw the United States women's beach volleyball team Ross and Kleiman won the, they just won the gold on the beach, which is great. So we had a gold in beach volleyball, an unexpected gold in wrestling. That guy was like plus 600 too, to win that gold medal. So nice job
by
him.
The other guy was the other guy's the man.
Yeah.
And he could, no one could even believe it. Like, his team was crying. They were crying because they've never seen him lose. It was great too, because everyone, I mean, we just are just staunch enemies with Iran. They just, they hate us. And we hate them. Let's just get real. And for no reason, like, you know, religious reasons and political reasons, but certainly not in sports, right? So in sports, it was like they were, the two guys were, they were friendly after the match, and there was no war or any violence or any nastiness. It was all hugs and appreciation and respect for one another.
That stuff doesn't carry over to the Olympics. Like, at least nowadays, it definitely doesn't. Maybe back in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s, when everybody was boycotting, you know, the U.S. and Russia were boycotting each other's Olympics.
They were crying. Olympics,
like, right. I mean, these, it's different now. I think all the athletes, like, super respect each other in all of these sports.
You got to see it, though, to believe it. Like, I have not watched the Olympics, but I got to tell you, I just saw that guy steal that gold medal. Like, that fight was over. Did you see the highlight of him with 10 seconds left? He had no time left whatsoever, and he literally went for it one last time, and he got him. It was like he just stole his girlfriend. Boom.
Right, right now.
You got to see it to believe it. He says, like, the guy, the announcer's like, it's over. He's got nothing. He's got, he's better do something right now because this fight's over. And then he picked him up and threw him down and got on top of him, and he got 2 points for the takedown and beat
him. Oh, wow. It's short. Wow, he got him good. Went right under.
He got him good. Can you believe that? Because that guy was the best wrestler in the world, they say, the one he beat. That's what they just said. I mean, I'm watching the broadcast. They said he just beat the best in the world. The guy was unbeatable. He's never lost.
Well, David Taylor, the magic man. The magic man, David Taylor.
So the magic man beat the GOAT.
Yes.
There you go. So you're telling me unequivocally that tonight the Olympics are over.
Well, they're over on Sunday, obviously. But I feel like tonight's the first night where, and I don't know what's going on in all the track and field and stuff like that. I have no idea what they're doing. They've been losing all those races too. But in terms of other sports, like, it's been a good like 24 hours for the United States at the Olympics, whether it, starting with, you know, last night, overnight with the basketball team winning. You, of course, had the women's soccer win the bronze, which we talked about on Coast to Coast. That's not good enough for them. You had the beach volleyball team win gold. You had the wrestler David Taylor win the gold. And we have Nelly Korda, American women's golf. She's up 5 strokes here in the third round, and we got her on a ticket for 7-1 to win the tournament. So let's go here.
When do they play that? Tomorrow?
That's on right now. I'm watching it live. Golf Channel. Let's go.
Oh,
we got Nelly
right now.
Nelly Korda with the lead. She's 15 under on the back nine of the third round.
How many of those Korda girls are there?
Two. She got two sisters, Nelly and Jessica.
So there's two girls.
They're both in this competition, yes. But Nelly's the top player in the world. She's the number one ranked women's golfer in the world.
Wow. And is that her right there in the blue shorts?
Oh, yeah.
I think I've seen her before. So that's her, right?
You're probably
the best golfer. She's the best. This is Nelly Korda, 15 under, the leader. She's the best golfer in the world?
Yes.
How long has that been going on?
Recent. It's not a runaway. Her and there's a bunch of women from South Korea who are also like the 3 or 4 best players in the world. They're all in this event.
Where are they from, these Kordas?
That I would have to find out. When I did my extensive research before I bet her, I did not look and see where she hails from.
But they still have to play another round?
Yes, this is the third round tonight, and then tomorrow night will be the final round, fourth round.
And are they really, are they playing in 100-degree weather? Is that what you told me before?
The quarters, listen to this. So we didn't do any real, I didn't even know this. If I would have known this before the tournament, I probably would have put double the amount of money on it. First of all,
Long Island.
No, the quarters are from Bradenton, Florida.
Right.
But here's the kicker that would have made me put an extra unit on it than I did. Birthday, July 28th. How about that? Nelly Korda sharing the birthday with me. And I did not know that before I put her in. I would have gone even deeper on it.
You would have put even more money down on her. And as you know, you and I have back-to-back birthdays.
She's only a mere 18 years younger than me. 98. She was born when I graduated high school. That's where I'm at right now.
I'm 33 years older than her. I don't think I'll be dating her anytime soon.
No. But it's just funny to look at that like that. July 28th, 1998. I mean, geez.
Did you watch any of the men's golf?
Yes, I was all into it last week when you were gone. I had 1,000 tickets on the event. I mean, I had 1,000 tickets on the event. It was just I was wall to wall with it. And of course, who won? The guy that I can't see, right?
With the
X-Man.
What has happened to you with the golf betting? I mean,
every weekend now. That's it. I mean, it's one of my niche things now. I love it. I'm in on it every week.
And you're making money.
I mean, listen, not every week. Obviously, you're going to have some bad weeks.
Right.
But we did pretty good last week with the tournament in Japan. And now I only made one bet on the women, and that was just this Nelly Korda. She was the favorite. She was 7-1 before the tournament, and that was it. And I didn't get any deeper than that. Because I had the St. Jude this weekend with the PGA.
I mean, let's just say, I'm not even going to be mean or anything, but let's just say a couple of these golfers are looking a little unathletic to me.
Well, that's the case in men's or women's golf. You're going to get a couple of unathletic people out there.
I mean, I just saw a chick that was the size of the Olympics.
Yes, and let me tell you, one of the best players in the world.
She's one of the best?
Oh, yeah.
Is she the Japanese chick?
I believe, I don't know who you saw, but one from China and one from Korea.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God. I was like, what is happening here? I was just like, what is going on here? But I didn't watch it because I was surfing. And I just didn't, you know, wasn't it on like the Peacock channel or something? Because I didn't have...
The golf was all on the golf channel.
Oh, because I don't think I had it, right? I had like all these streaming services. I had every streaming service in the world. I had them all, like, you know, Apple and all of them, Hulu and Prime and everything. I had them all, Netflix. And then I had DirecTV. And the DirecTV channels I had were not like local ABC, NBC, CBS type channels. They were just like DirecTV channels, like middle of the road, like all the channels you could imagine, right? Like horror channels, cooking channels, news channels. I had all these rogue ass channels that sucked. I hated it, but they did have Sports Grid, thank God. So bottom nine, Braves lead the Cardinals 8-4 at Busch. So they've opened it up. You got to admit, Carver High, the Braves being 500 and basically the Cardinals will be two games under 500. Both of them. I mean, that's just not good enough. I mean, no. The Braves were a playoff team last year, a dangerous team. And now they're 500. It's like, I don't even care what they've been doing lately. When you're 500 this late in the season, bottom line is you suck.
No, it's true. And the Braves have really sputtered all year long. And I think we're going to start to see, the Phillies have been playing so good. If the Phillies can get a little separation, between themselves and the Braves and then kind of make it a two-team race in the NL East. But the Braves have also been hit with some major injuries this year and other things. Losing Acuna, that you can get all the middle-tier outfielders you want like they did at the deadline. You know, Jock Peterson and Soler and all these guys. You ain't replacing Acuna. So that just hurts you too much. And we talked about this before the season started anyway. Even though they went to the NLCS last year and they played well, I didn't think that their pitching was that great. I don't think their pitching was could hold up over a full season. Even though they had a couple great bats with Albies and Acuna, etc., and Freeman, I think the pitching was good enough. And that's ultimately, when you look at some of their pitching numbers, what's done them in, even besides the injuries.
But can you believe, I'll give you this. That's amazing to me that they're only two games out and they're 500. That's how bad that NL East has been.
Yeah.
Because the Phillies are three games over 500. The Mets are four. And the Phillies are now a half game back of the Mets, who are playing terrible baseball right now. They've gone 3-7-10, where the Phillies have won 5 in a row and 6 of 10. So they weren't playing great before they won 5 in a row. They've rattled off 5 in a row. And today, I don't know what it was they put up. Was it 5 they put up in their last at bat or 4? I think it was 4.
4.
And it was 4 runs. But we were talking about this last night on the bench that Rhys Hoskins had a big night. Harper had another couple RBIs. They won again. And then today they were losing, getting their ass beat, and they did it all in the 9th inning, and they won that game. And the Giants did the same thing. They were down 4-0, and they won that game 5-4 over the D-bags down in Arizona, right? So I hit that game. I hit, I think it was my top 3 plays tonight. But the fact of the matter is that that's amazing to me that the Braves are only 2 games out of first place being 500. So when they win tonight, I mean, they are in it. They are in it and they suck. I mean, they're 500 and they're so in it. It's not even funny. When you're 2 games out, you are not out of anything. And I mean, the Yankees are 5.5 out. And they were 9 out when I was in San Diego. So a week, you know, later, let's say 2 weeks later, right? So the week I was there, they did some damage. And then now they're home and they're doing damage again. And now they're only 5.5 out as the Red Sox continue to slip. And they lost it after they lost 5 in a row. They won. Then they lost again. So today you said it was 6 of 7. They've gone 3-7-10. And they're now 1.5 games behind Tampa in the AL East. But you can't even describe to me how, A, the Braves are only 2 out and they're 500. And the Phillies are 3 over .500. And they're now 1.5 games behind the Mets. And the Mets are playing so badly right now, let's face facts, that I think the Phillies will be in first place by the end of the weekend. I mean, not only that, catch them. I think they'll be 1.5 games up by the end of the weekend.
No, I agree with you. I think that this is where it's turned. And, of course, the Mets go to Philadelphia this weekend for 3 games. And, you know, listen, they're red hot right now. If the Phillies ever swept them this weekend down there, suddenly they're, you know, the Mets could be leaving there 2 down or 1.5 games out, something like that. So, huge weekend for that. And really, that division, it's kind of like, and somebody said it to you on Coast to Coast today, or maybe I just saw somebody tweet it. It's like, it's kind of like the NFC East right now. Like how football and football is. Like, there's not really, the teams are all kind of hanging around 500. Nobody has really gone ahead and taken control of it. And the Phillies have an opportunity to shoot ahead this weekend.
Do you think that, like a NASCAR race, you know how you and I always, we always talk about this, where we feel like, at least I do, in a basketball game or in a baseball race, in a divisional race, or in a basketball game, one game, or different. So basketball meaning in one game itself, or in baseball in a race, in a divisional race, that once, and I use the NASCAR analogy, right? Once you catch the guy in first,
yep,
and you pass him in the car, it's over. It's over. Once he passes you, it's over. And the same goes in the Indy 500. Once that guy catches you, it's over. And once they pass you, it's like you've had the lead the whole race, and the guy passes you, NASCAR, IndyCar, it's over. They don't come back and win. So it, 9 out of 10 times, right? In baseball, do you feel that once they blow it and the team passes you, that it's over? Much like in a basketball game, where I feel, you know, there's a lot of games where it's back and forth or lead changes, if you will. But right. I've always used the analogy that, like, basically, if a team's been losing the whole game and they're down 20 and they come back roaring back and they get the lead, it's over.
Yeah,
it's over. They're gonna
so hard.
Once
it's
they
so
get the lead,
to...
then they win.
Yeah, it's hard to rebound from that. It's something that's so difficult to come back from. And you're right. I mean, if you're a team like the Mets, who they've been in first place for 3 months, right? I mean, solid 3 months. Since at least right. early May, they've been in first place.
Right.
And for the first time in 3 months, they can get past this weekend. And sometimes you just can't look back. And look, and you know this, it's hard without DeGrom. Because he's such a weapon when he goes out there every 5 days. And to not have him now, it's finally caught up with them. We're not having him for so long.
It really is. It's the reason that it's caught up with them. But, you know, with Bauer out, they went out and got Scherzer, and then they went and got Cole Hamels.
And Danny Duffy, yeah.
Buying,
got a bunch of guys.
And Danny Duffy. I am not buying Cole Hamels.
No, I think that I don't that's
know, when
that's if things go really bad. I don't think you'll ever see him touch the ball in a big spot. I think that's a super, super insurance. You know, that's what I think that it is. It's super insurance for me, as far as I'm concerned with them.
All right, Pharrell, back with you. We had a little situation there. Do you think that no one can convince him, like his wife or anybody, his family, that he's finished, Cole Hamels?
I don't think that anybody can convince him. No, I don't think that anybody can convince him. I think that he keeps coming back, and I guess these teams keep calling him too, right? That's part of it. Also, these teams keep calling him.
I mean, when is the last time you saw that guy pitch? Did he go down to play for the Braves and he never pitched a game?
Yep, that's exactly what happened. Never pitched a game. He was awful there. Maybe he pitched one or two. He was awful.
But then, the Dodgers pick him up. And when I saw that, the first thing I thought was, he's not going to do anything for the Dodgers. Is he? Is he really? Because I know I said that before about Pujols. Remember when they got Pujols and I said, right. That'll never work. He's finished. And then the guy hit 10 home runs with the Dodgers. But I said the same thing about Cole Hamels. Now, am I wrong? They don't use Pujols anymore, do they?
I think that he's kind of been relegated now to just pretty much pinch hitting. I don't think he ever starts, especially with everybody being healthy now. They have Bellinger back. They have Betts back. They have, now they have Turner. I think that with everybody back now, he's strictly a bench guy that pinch hits.
But did you think when they got him that it would work? And when you saw that they got Cole Hamels, what was your reaction? What was your reaction to both of them?
Well, Pujols at first, it was a little different. It was more just like, all right, this guy's just trying to hang on and grab another ring. He's not going to – maybe he'll have a couple of pinch hits for them. I never expected Pujols to do anything of significance. And that's kind of how I felt with this Hamels thing too. They just made moves for a couple of pitchers. They know that they have a loaded team that can win the World Series. They don't want to leave themselves with absolutely nothing if more bad things happen to them injury-wise. They don't know. They haven't gotten Kershaw back yet. They clearly, like the rest of us, don't expect Bauer to pitch again. So I think that they just needed some super, super insurance, and that's all he is. Somebody that in an absolutely have-to spot, if they got nowhere else to turn to, they have him now sitting there. If they never give him the ball, they'll be perfectly happy.
Are you surprised that, I am, that it's actually that San Francisco, you know, even though the Dodgers have made all these moves and Scherzer struck out 10 last night, are you not surprised that their lead now is up to 4? I mean, their lead keeps growing,
Yeah. Not
going the other way. It has not gotten better for the Dodgers and Padres.
No, I'm stunned. Absolutely stunned that it just keeps staying.
I mean, staying. It's getting worse. The Giants' lead is even bigger now at 4. So I get it, Carver Hyde, that people, you know, I'm grading and my voice and everything. People get all worked up. You know, initially when people hear me, they get all worked up about my voice. And you know how it works. You've been with me long enough. The initial reaction to me when people first hear me for the first time ever and they've never heard me, they freak out about my voice. They literally freak out. They're like, I want to kill myself. I'm done. I can't listen to this guy. I hate him. But, you know, eventually when they hear the show and if they give it a try for a couple weeks or a month, then they fall in love with it and listen to it for years. I have generations of families from grandpa to son to grandchildren that listen to the show over the years. And you know that to be true, that they listen forever. They become fans and they listen forever and they've loved it forever. No different than you when you were a kid listening to me. So the reality is there are people that when I hear them, I want to beat their face in. I just want
to just take it out, Art.
There are certain people that I hear the minute I hear them, I want to beat their ass. I'm not kidding. And you know I'm not kidding. And we were just talking about it. And I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I come right out with it and tell you know how I feel. I just come right out with it. I'm like, I don't like him. I want to beat his face. I just want to beat his ass, bloody his nose. I want to play basketball with him and break their nose. And I'll do it, too. Trust me, I got the sharp elbows, son. I know how to get it done. I will see. Nothing like ending the show on a violent note. I will see you tomorrow at 4 Eastern on Coast to Coast. It's a very radical look at the world of sports. And we make a tremendous amount of fun of people every single day. Good night.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.